This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
This is Pop Wilfong.
I'm Joe Canale.
I'm Ryan Tweedy.
I'm Pat Jansen.
And my Canale.
All right, so you know who's here now.
For Nebraska and the Scarlet.
From Van Nuys, California.
About 15 miles away from Hollywood, California.
It's the Big Red Copcast.
Hey, welcome to the Great Cars. I'm Ryan.
I'm Pat.
And, yeah, man, so we lost to Northwestern.
Yeah, which was what Vegas was calling for. But we had that game.
Right.
So year one in the Mike Riley era, I was like, man, we're just losing these close games. We're so close. Now I'm like, we had it. We gave that away. It's who we are.
I said
all yesterday, I was like, we have to get a two-possession lead. We do that, we're good. We don't, I'm worried. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I just don't even get how we're at this point.
And, I mean, it's not like Northwestern is dog shit. They beat Iowa,
who crushed
Ohio State.
You know what? Let's stop. Because this is the shit that's irritating me. And well, it's not you. I'm just saying, in general, it's this. They are dog shit. Is that who is our competition? Like, who do we view as our competition?
I'm not saying we should be happy with losing to Northwestern.
We shouldn't be happy with barely beating Northwestern. We should be like, okay, we can grow from this victory, but we shouldn't be proud of it. We should cheer and we should scream. We should do all the things fans do. I don't think that should change. But my point is, I don't see how. I mean,
when we were better off, we were losing to Northwestern or almost losing to Northwestern, quote unquote better off. I don't know that we were better off, but it was at least more ambiguous whether or not we sucked at that time.
Those 9-4 seasons under Bo are deceiving.
They are. No, that's what I'm saying is, like, you could argue maybe we were good, maybe we weren't. Right now, you can't make any argument other than Nebraska stinks.
Yeah, you really can't. And the fact that people are like, I haven't really heard any arguments.
But, I mean, what I was trying to say is Northwestern isn't Northern Illinois or Arkansas State. But truthfully, I mean, Oregon was basically what Northwestern is. I mean, there have been no teams other than Wisconsin or Ohio State that were really that good on our schedules. It's been a lot of mediocre. I mean, because those mid-major teams were good mid-major teams for mid-major teams, but it's just a lot of that mid-level. And then when we finally stepped up to play the Wisconsins and the Ohio States of the world, we got run. And that was the reason why we made a coaching change. And a coaching change was needed. Yes. That people who say this is proof that we shouldn't have fired Bo, you're wrong. You're absolutely wrong.
On more levels than just wins and losses.
Yeah. But
also on wins and losses.
That doesn't mean you can make the wrong hire after making the right fire. And that's what we did.
Yeah, and that's what we did. That's what we've consistently done.
Yeah.
This is the defining moment. I mean,
we've done it after
Riley was supposed to be the defining moment. If we can pull our, I mean, Bo Pelini was supposed to be the defining moment, and he really showed potential. I do think that moving Bo out of the Big 12 fucked him.
Yeah, I think he might have been fucked eventually anyway.
His attitude was shit.
And, like, he had his own issues stopping teams in the Big 12. Granted, most defensive coordinators did
a lot better in the Big 12 than he did in the Big 10.
I mean, he gave up a lot of points to Oklahoma.
Yeah, he did, but he also got into a Big 12 championship and
and really outplayed Texas in that game.
Yeah,
but
didn't get blown out by one player. I mean, you shouldn't be able to. One player shouldn't have that much of an impact. I mean, I get that, like, there's like solid players, but he fucking ran for 400 yards.
Well, What that showed is that that whole defensive unit just got manhandled in that Wisconsin game. Whereas in the Texas game, our whole offensive unit got manhandled. But yeah, we've just mishandled every hire after every firing since you and I have been alive.
Mm-hmm.
In the moment, Bo wasn't the worst hire.
Bo was my like. He's who I was stoked.
He's who I wanted. He's who I wanted as the head coach. But also, we didn't have anybody on the radar who was a bigger fish. Like, we were settling for a defensive coordinator for LSU versus a head coach from Buffalo University. Or University of Buffalo versus a head coach from Wake Forest. Those were our three finalists: Bo Pelini, Turner Gill, and Jim Grobe. Like, we had nobody else on the line at that point. Tom Osborne is kind of a cheap fella.
Yeah.
And he wanted
the university in general is cheap, and they're just now starting to realize that it's beneficial for them to spend money because they're gonna make money for years and years and years, and still probably a little bit. They thought that they could just put anything out there and Husker fans would eat it up because we were such great fans. But then we started losing and they realized, oh, it's much easier when we're not losing to make money and it's affecting our bottom line. And so now they got to spend money to make money. At least they're figuring that out.
They said they were going to this time around, and they did spend money, but like, not as much as it feels like they could have. They were spending less for Mike Riley than they were for what Bo Pelini was making in his last year in the contract.
Well, and
that's not opening the checkbook.
It's not. And the other part of it is that I just completely lost my train of thought.
Well, I got other things that I can rail on too.
Say the last thing you just said again and refresh my memory.
That Mike Riley was making less in his first year than Bo Pelini was making in his last year.
Oh, yeah. I feel like what they did was they opened up the checkbook for assistants, because that way they can say, we're opening up the checkbook. You paid $1 million a year for Diaco or whatever. He's getting $800,000.
Yeah.
They paid good money for these other assistants.
But not right away.
Langsdorf was making decent money. He was coming in as a pretty highly paid.
Yeah, and Bruce Reed.
Yeah, I mean,
as a special teams coordinator.
Yeah,
but
that's the thing. They've disguised it. They said we're going to open up the checkbook, and they did, but they didn't get the head coach.
Well, I do think
the CEO of the company, the face of the company, the vision of the company.
But I also think your assistant coaches are every bit as important as your head coach, but the problem was, I don't know that Riley identified all of the assistant coaching talent right away. It feels like neither Eichhorst nor Riley had a lot of urgency. They thought, we'll figure this out as we go, and then we'll get it right.
Right.
We'll be able to tinker around a little bit. That
you
unfortunately
don't get that opportunity. That's the problem with old guys. They like to tinker. They like to whittle.
But at a place like Nebraska, you don't get it. At a place like Purdue, you may have a young coach who wants to try and tinker and figure things out. I mean, Jeff Brohm wants to win right away. So even
Scott
at a place
Frost
like...
Scott Frost wants to win right now.
And so even at places like that, with Jeff Brohm at Purdue or Scott Frost at Central Florida, they may tinker, but they recognize they have to put their best foot forward right away. Because if you don't, then suddenly you can't recruit.
Right.
And
that's like, there's so many.
You have to get as much right away, because you don't know what you're eventually going to get wrong. You think you're going to win every game, but you're not.
Right.
Like, Nebraska's biggest recruiting weekends this year, Wisconsin, Ohio State, and yesterday. And all three of those were losses. You can't win recruits when you can't win the games where you bring them.
Yeah.
Like, think of the biggest recruiting weekends for Nebraska since Riley's been there. Probably Michigan State and Oregon. And those were big wins. And if you just... the fans will do a lot to carry you through.
And I know a lot of people are going to say, he was getting guys like Bookie, he was getting this and that and the other, and whoop-de-whoop. There's a lot more guys out there like Jameer Calvin than there are like Bookie.
Right.
That want to see W's. They want to win games. They want to look cool doing it, and they want to get on ESPN.
So you're saying Jameer Calvin is the want to look cool guy, and the bookie's the want to win.
And well, no, I mean, Bookie wants to win. I'm saying that I think Bookie is one of those guys that will go, you know what? I like the culture. I really like the head coach. I think I can not only grow as a person here with this staff, but I can grow as a player. Those are the kind of guys that Riley's going to get. They're going to be upstanding athletes. I have no doubt in my mind that that's what the program would be under him, is nothing but upstanding, thoughtful athletes.
But I also think Bookie's really competitive. You can't. You want the competitive guys.
Right, he'd win games. But I'm just going to say, a lot of those guys that are competitive and want to win games are more like Jameer Calvin than they are like Bookie.
Well, no,
and,
I also
you
think...
better win. My point is, my overall point is you better win games.
Well, see, I think Bookie, I feel like, is the more competitive guy who you'd want in the locker room, who's going to help you win games. But he also is the guy who's going to say, I don't see this happening here. I want to go to a program that's going to nurture that competitive. I think Micah Parsons wants to go to a Penn State or an Ohio State or an Oklahoma because they're going to... A five-win season this season,
let's say we win 5 wins, but there's a guarantee Riley's going to be here for 4 more years, Bookie comes. I don't think he leaves. I think he left because he saw the writing on the wall. I don't think he left because he didn't buy into Mike Riley's program. I think that Mike Riley doesn't have the guys to fulfill his program, and I think it's going to take him a long time to get there, and he doesn't have a long time left in his career. We don't have a long time left in our patience. Mike Riley's not only fighting the fights that Mike Riley's fighting now. He's fighting the fights of the frustration left over from Solich, from Callahan, from Pelini. He's fighting all those battles. He can't just be Mike Riley and do Mike Riley things, because he might not realize it, but there's a whole bunch of baggage that fans are carrying, and it's bleeding over into him.
And that's why, if ever there was an argument for the we need a Husker guy, people, because I hate that argument. I hate it. I want a coach who's just going to be aware of the situation, who's going to be a good coach, who can have a team prepared. It doesn't need to be someone with Husker ties. But that said, there is potentially that advantage with Scott Frost knowing the urgency that's necessary, knowing the shit that's around this program, basically knowing the minefields. Mm-hmm. But I think anybody who's stepping into any major program needs to know. Florida has that. Tennessee has that. We're not that special.
Right.
Like, we are essentially Tennessee right now.
Right.
Tennessee's us. Like, whoever goes to us or Knoxville or Gainesville, they're stepping into the same pile of shit, and they're going to have a tight leash in a very difficult process. Like, and that's why whoever goes to any of those three programs is going to need to be paid. Oh, man.
Yeah, my wife's calling. I'll have to call her back.
Sorry, man.
No, it's okay. It's all right.
You got important things to do.
Yeah. yeah. Sorry, wife. I know we only get to talk once a day for 3 minutes and you've been gone for 6 weeks, but I'm recording a Cobcast.
yeah.
Yeah. Though I think I said this yesterday on the Facebook Live too. The reason that I want Frost the most is because he's the only choice that will unify the fan base.
Yeah, I think
you get the run the daggum ball guy, you get the we need a Husker legacy guy, and then you get everybody else because he's a good coach.
UCF's quarterback threw for over 400 yards yesterday.
I watched the game last night.
Yeah.
And I was more into that game. I cared more about that game than I did the Husker game.
I was really into the Husker game yesterday. I was enjoying that game until we fucking shit the bed.
I was into it in a sense that I always enjoy watching the Huskers win. There's nothing, no coach change. Nothing is going to beat the happiness I feel with watching us punk another team. But with that being said, I don't even care that we lost. I'm just so fucking over losing. Like,
it's
so
Groundhog Day. It's the same bullshit over and over right now. And truthfully, if we had just lost that Purdue game, it would have sped up the process. Just in the same way that if we hadn't completed that Hail Mary against Northwestern, or Kenny Bell hadn't caught the touchdown in overtime to beat Iowa,
right,
the Bo Pelini thing would have happened on a more seamless schedule. It would have been easier to justify. And we were having this conversation yesterday. it's hard. It feels like, so like if you have a team in the NBA that sucks, you kind of root for that team. Like if they're not anywhere near a championship, you're like, man, just finish really poorly, get a top spot in the NBA draft lottery, and get Lonzo Ball or whoever the top draft pick is that year. And Nebraska fans feel kind of like that. And I don't want to be in, I always want to root for Nebraska. I just don't think rooting for losses is ever the right thing.
Yeah, and you were here yesterday. I wasn't rooting
for
losses.
No, I know that. I know that. I
wanted us to win. But
I wasn't
when
saying,
we lost, there was a piece of me that goes, well, the consolation prize is we probably get Scott Frost.
That's how I was feeling on Purdue weekend as well. Like there's a part of you in the back of your head. There are some people, and I wasn't meaning this was you, but there are some people who are verbally hoping for that. And it's like, but that's you're not a fan.
That's the person that's not really a fan, in my opinion.
You're a fan of Bo Pelini, or you're a fan of Scott Frost. You're not a fan of Nebraska. Take the N off at that point.
Yeah. I would rather we win. I would rather we win out. But with that being said, consolation prizes are dope. It's good to have them because usually we don't. Usually we just lost and feel like shit for a year. This year we get a consolation prize. Consolation prize is like a dope-ass new car.
Well, potentially.
Yeah, that's true. It could be a little fucking Volkswagen Beater that's
It's like let's make a deal behind door number two. Like right now, we have door number one. And it's $500. Door number two could be a Mazda Miata, or it could be
a Zonk.
It could be like a goat chewing on some clothes or something.
Right. I think that's called a Zonk, right?
I don't know.
Is that what they call them?
I don't know.
Yeah, put little.
I mean, it could be like the one where it could be the game show too. Press your luck with the no whammies, big bucks.
Yeah. We've gotten three whammies.
I think we're eliminated from the game. Yeah.
If this was pressure luck, we lost. Fuck.
I hope we at least got one of the funny whammies.
I hope. That the chick voice always made me laugh harder.
I used to watch...
and then they would do like a weird dance in a shower. Fuck those guys.
They'd pull the shower curtain and you'd see the whammy, like trying to cover their whammy boobs.
And the dudes always would wear suits on that show.
Like bad suits. Too.
Yeah, like with shirt and tie and shit. And I always remember like, you just got fucking laughed at by a cartoon whammy and you're wearing a suit. What the hell is this? Why are you dressed like that? Like
that was that dude's retirement plan in the 1980s.
Yeah, I'm going to get on pressure luck. I'm going to get no whammies, first of all. Second of all, I'm going to make $3,750 and I am
pre-tax.
Yeah, pre-tax. And then I'm moving to Florida.
Seamless.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know, dude.
Turns out what he really should have done is gone to Oregon State, win half of his games, and get a contract in Nebraska and a multi-million-dollar buyout.
Yeah.
That's better than no whammies.
Yeah.
There are no whammies. When you're
so the only
a power
people
conference
that
coach.
Didn't get whammied were the whammies.
Yeah.
You can't whammy whammies.
Yeah.
Put that on a shirt.
All right. Sure. If I were inclined to make a t-shirt, I would make that t-shirt.
What else, man? There's got to be something else worth talking about. I'm so sick of talking about Scott Frost.
Do we get bowl eligible?
No.
Do you want to be bowl eligible?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I want to win
games. One more game, too.
Yeah, I want to watch the Huskers win football games. I would like nothing more than to watch the Huskers come in and upset Penn State and upset Iowa and upset Minnesota. And then, well, fuck, it shouldn't even...
I don't know if it will be technically an upset. Minnesota right now is 1-4 in the Big Ten.
Okay.
But it's on the road.
Technically, we're still beating Iowa in the Big Ten. We're ahead of them in the polls.
Yeah, we're both 3-3.
Yeah, but we're ahead of them because I don't know why, but we're ahead of them.
Yeah.
Quality losses. Yeah.
There's not been a single quality loss on this team.
We were talking about something. Oh, whammies. Yeah. I would love nothing more than for all those guys to lose or to beat, and then also we get Scott Frost.
You know what?
that's
six,
the
six
ideal
and six
situation.
Might be ideal.
Yeah, it might. I mean, and it depends on how you look at it. And in the moment, the only ideal situation is to win the goddamn game.
Yeah, 6-6 involves a pretty strong fucking finish. That's, we have at Minnesota, at Penn State, home against Iowa. We have to win 2 out of 3 of those to get bowl eligible.
Whew. Hope one of them is Iowa.
Oh, my God. We determined that what might almost be a perfect scenario at this point, I don't remember if we said this on the air or not.
I'm pretty sure.
But
lose out and beat Iowa.
Yeah. Not be bowl eligible and then just ruin Iowa's season.
Yeah.
Except Iowa's season is already not that good. I mean, they're 3-3 in the Big Ten.
Yeah,
they lost to Northwestern.
If they lose to us after beating Ohio State, it'll just make that Ohio State win meaningless.
Yeah.
Which is dope.
Yeah.
Because no matter what they say, we beat Ohio State. Yeah, then you lost to us.
Part of me wishes they were in contention for the Big Ten West.
Just as play spoiler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to piss all over Iowa right now.
I do. I hate the fact that they won yesterday.
Of course, we got trash talked on Twitter yesterday.
Yeah, as we should.
But I mean,
he's not.
They also lost to Northwestern.
Yeah, but he's also not good at it.
The guy who was trash talking us?
Yeah, both those guys, Scarlet Turnover and the other guy, they're not
Beanstalk.
Good. Beanstalk, yeah, they're not good at talking shit. One of these days I'm going to go nuclear on them and really, really, like I'm gonna dox them. I'm going to find out all their personal information and dox them.
Anyways. Man, you know, Beanstalk and Scarlet Turnover were saying a lot of things about your mom and your wife and the size of your penis.
Were they really?
I'm just trying to get you to go nuclear. I should have.
I'll
tell
you what.
Everything's
fair game until you start talking about my wife. Then there's going to be some problem. Then I will find your real address. That's my wife, man. Don't talk about my wife.
Ooh, protective Tweety.
Well, when
like
it comes
it.
To my wife?
Yeah, no, I get I it. I understand.
Dude,
I'm married.
Here.
I get it.
I was going to say, I hope every dude listening fucking feels that way about their wife. Or they can get a divorce. If you're not willing to fucking stalk a stranger because he talks shit about your wife, then you're not in a good marriage. Fuck. Get in a good marriage. It's not my fault.
I wasn't criticizing. I was just saying it. It made me proud to sit across from you. Man.
Yeah.
Ready for Nebraska ball?
Dude, actually, yeah.
Yeah. What are you doing over there?
I'm getting on Twitter.
Oh, okay. To dox the Iowa fans?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like,
no, the reason I'm getting on Twitter is I just wanted to see what people are talking about.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, there's not a lot to talk about.
Okay. Let me, is there a part of yesterday's game that was a redeeming quality? Any part whatsoever?
Yes. Divine Azigbo. Spielman. Tyjon Lindsey. I like him. I know he's not doing a whole lot, but he's fucking little, dude. And whenever I see that, I mean, he is tiny compared to the rest of he's like,
yeah.
What'd they say, 5'9", 165?
Yeah.
Dude, 5'9", 165? That's a chubby 5'9".
I met his dad, and his dad is probably 5'6".
Yeah, like, so and it takes
if you're an athlete listed at 5'9", 165.
How big was Davison? 5'11".
Matt Davison?
Yeah.
He was like 6 feet, 170 maybe.
And he was, well, he that's pretty little, 170.
But that may have been his freshman year.
That's my size, 6'1".
Maybe 6 foot 180.
Okay.
Yeah, he's, I mean, as he told us, Jason Peter thought he was a kicker.
Yeah. So, I mean, just seeing a little guy out there fighting for the ball and making plays as a freshman, I like that. And I think he's only going to get better.
Drew Brown, there's your bright spot.
Dude, he is, man.
Passed his brother on the list for career field goals yesterday.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I didn't realize he was close. There's a lot. I mean, Stanley Morgan.
Brown didn't kick a lot of field goals. He kicked a lot of extra points.
Strength and conditioning coach. I like that guy.
You do like using some Mark Phillips.
I really do, man. I like his energy on the sidelines.
So,
Jason Peter. That's a shining bright spot. I'm not sure. People have said that he was making racist comments about Dante Williams. I don't know.
See, I didn't listen to the whole
thing. He made a comment about coaches caring too much about the hat they wear and their earrings and shit or whatever. But I don't know if that's racism. I mean, maybe. It's not really my call, I guess. But I don't know. I understand what he's saying, but I think he probably could have said it better.
Yeah.
But what he did say that I believe is, like, everybody's blaming the media, they're blaming the fans, and all that stuff. I agree with that. My opinion on that is that it also matters, but a lot of focus on that and not enough focus on holding the players accountable for winning games. If a player sucks, if a player makes a shit play, the coaches, not the fans, the coaches need to get after him for making a shit play and then bench him. If you throw six pick sixes or however many pick sixes you've thrown, why has POB not seen the field? He hasn't seen the field.
Yeah, he came in mop-up duty in that Ohio State game.
That's right.
That's it.
Yeah.
I
forgot about that.
And
you
Tanner
know why
Lee...
I forgot about that? Because that game was bullshit.
Yeah. Tanner Lee has had his moments, and he hasn't been put in good positions for success. And I don't know that POB would necessarily be better. But at a certain point...
It might make Tanner Lee get his shit together.
Well, at a certain point... Give it a shot. Like, it's not even accountability for Tanner Lee. It's just like you're doing the same thing over and over and over and over and expecting a different result. Right. Like, maybe it gets better, maybe it gets worse. Who knows?
But probably it stays the same.
Yeah.
Probably it stays the same.
And
I just never understood that.
So, speaking of staying the same.
Mm-hmm.
What would be your reaction as a Husker fan if Mike Riley's back next year?
I would quit doing this podcast.
Okay. I mean, we discussed it today.
I don't enjoy it. And I wanted nothing more than to have Mike Riley succeed.
Ditto.
I love his character. I love his... The way he carries himself on the sidelines, it doesn't bother me that he's not a screamer and a yeller and doesn't get excited.
He doesn't need to be.
That's what the assistants are for. Tom Osborne didn't have to yell because Charlie McBride did it for him.
Right.
Milt Tenneper did it for, Milt Tenneper right here was a little bit more of a teddy bear. But they called, Charlie McBride's nickname in the 80s, according to a couple of players I talked to, was Coach Do It Again. Because that's what he'd yell. No, do it again. And that's...
He was a professional wrestler, too?
Yeah.
No, do it again!
I had to get away from the mic. But, you know, But if Mike Riley comes back, the only way Mike Riley can succeed here, and it's not a guarantee, is if Moose says, Mike Riley's our guy, and I'm not going to fire him for at least... 3 more years. No, I'm not going to fire him until the end of the 4th year starting today. Starting next season is year 1.
But even then, athletic directors give votes of confidence all the time and eventually go against it.
You'd have to put it in writing. Like, that'd be the only way. Otherwise,
like a contract?
Which
he's currently got that amount of time.
And you should, but you make the buyout $1 billion. So you can't. You get it in writing so the president and them cannot go over your head and make changes because they would have to pay him $1 billion. And that's the only way. And it's not going to happen. And the reason I say that is because unless he comes right out and wins next year, he ain't going to recruit because they're going to think he's going to get fired.
Yeah. We've already lost Bookie. We're going to lose Joshua Moore.
Yeah, we're going to lose everybody on that. That list is done.
Chase Williams, I would guess, is probably...
We're going to lose Tristan Gebbia. We're going to lose players that are already on the team. Maybe not Tristan Gebbia, but...
I would bet...
He stays?
I would bet Tyjon Lindsey leaves.
Yeah, you were saying that you think he would go. I don't know. I think he would work pretty good in a Scott Frost offense.
Well, yeah, it would probably depend on who comes in.
Yeah.
Yes. But I just have this feeling like... He's a guy who came in with expectations of lighting the world on fire, and with it not happening, he's just going to feel unhappy and go elsewhere.
Yeah, but he's not going to do that anywhere. He's going to get, what was the guy that did that for Nebraska ball that ended up being on the bench the whole season? Andrew White?
Oh, well, he played, he was their sixth man at Syracuse.
Okay. But still.
Yeah.
Could have been the fucking lead scorer at Nebraska.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have been the sixth man. He'd been the first. How's it feel to be the how's it feel to drop five places, dumbass? I think the Scott Frost buyout will be huge. I think it'll have to be. I think any coach's buyout. I think the buyout on this next coach is going to be astronomical. We always say you can't fire a coach after four seasons. You definitely can't fire a coach after three seasons.
Yeah, and I think, too, there are people who have given me crap because, like, at halftime of the Oregon game, there were people calling for Riley to be fired at that moment. He was two seasons and a game and a half into his third season. He was... barely over two seasons at that point, and people calling for his head. And I said, I get it. It looks ugly. You can't start talking like that just yet. One, it doesn't help recruiting, and people will be like, who gives a fuck about recruiting if we don't win games? You're right. But you can't that early. And three seasons still feels early. But there's a big difference between now versus halftime of the Oregon game. Yeah. One, we almost came back and won that Oregon game. And two, there's a little bit more crystallization around this team. You can kind of see a little bit more of what it is. And people are like, I told you that halftime of game two. Sure you did, but you couldn't predict the future. Right. Maybe you thought what you were going to see, and now maybe you're right. But you have to let some things play out. And to everyone who's now like, well, you still have to let things out and play out, probably do a fourth season. And there are some of those, not many, but mm-hmm. some. I just feel like, we see what it's been. We see what it's going to be. Mm-hmm. And this year was weird because even though it was season three, there was a lot of reset.
Right. Like
essentially a new offense. It was a new defense. But you needed that urgency earlier in the tenure.
Right.
So you don't have to do this in season three.
And the coaching carousel this year seems to be very – there seems to be a very large net. A lot of coaches.
Yeah, and a lot of openings.
A lot of openings. A lot of coaches and a lot of openings. So there might not be the choices next year that there is this year.
Yeah. I mean, there will always be options potentially to pull someone away for a lot of money.
Yeah, but nobody on the list of people that everybody really wants will be available next year, except for maybe Patterson.
But I
think that's such a long shot.
I'm sure Matt Campbell's going somewhere this year. It'd be weird. Well, I mean, unless he just really wants to build up Iowa State into a Big 12 power and be a hero there. But if he's going to strike, this would probably be the year to do it. He's been a fast riser. Patterson, I just don't see going anywhere. He's old enough, and he basically built that program from scratch. I mean, Dennis Franchione was there before him, but that's Gary Patterson's program.
Right.
He would have to be unhappy with an administrator, I feel like, to leave a recruiting hotbed like the Dallas-Fort Worth area where he's making a good amount of money at a program that he helped build up. That'd be weird to me.
Yeah, so what happens if we don't get Patterson and we don't get Frost? Who do we get?
We always bring up Stoops. Yeah, I don't know, man.
And that's the thing. I think Scott Frost is the only legitimate candidate, really.
I mean,
maybe. I don't know. I don't want to talk about this anymore. I'm bored of it.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about it ad nauseum, and that's all anybody ever wants to ask us about when we do our Facebook Live.
Yeah.
And part of me just wants to put a moratorium on it. Because I even said on Twitter this week, I'm not going to talk about this again until Mike Riley's fired. Because until he's not our coach, there's not really anything to talk about, and here we are.
Because
and we will probably
nothing else to fucking talk about.
We will continue to talk about this probably.
Like, what are your feelings about the Minnesota game next week?
I mean, does anybody honestly give a fuck?
No.
There's one home game left on the schedule. It's Iowa. It's after Thanksgiving. I think everyone will care about that.
Yeah, I care about that.
I don't.
Not because they're a rival, because they're not a rival. They're not good enough to be a rival. Culturally, historically, community-wise, personally, as a state.
Intellectually,
sexual prowess-wise, there is no way that they could possibly be our rival. And that's like saying, like, hey, who's your rival? I don't know, that that limp dick weak kid down the street. You know, like that's my rival. No, your rival should be the CEO of the local bank or something.
Are you going to go fight the Chase Bank executive here?
I might.
All right. I should probably send a warning email to that branch. Yeah. I mean, because Minnesota, we've got that. People will probably care about Penn State because it's a chance for an upset, although Penn State now has lost two in a row. I mean, it's nice to beat Penn State in anything because their fans are idiots.
Yeah. I do hate all the child molester jokes. I mean, let me rephrase that. They're funny. But I do feel like you're just like calling people child molesters that had nothing to do with it at this point. You know?
Just people who sympathized with a guy who hit a child molester.
Yeah, but that's a pretty general, large swash of a people to generalize and call child molesters.
It's 3 degrees from a child molester.
You know what? We're all probably 3 degrees from a child molester, right?
I mean, it's probably a more prevalent crime than we'd care to admit.
Yeah. Man, that got dark.
Yeah, it did.
I just think we should stop calling everybody child molesters. Unless
they're a child molester.
Unless they're a child molester. That's true. Like, directly a child molester.
Okay.
And then you should be able to do whatever you want.
Or part of an active cover-up. I feel like that's just as bad.
Yeah, an active cover-up, not like calling fans, like saying fans didn't give a shit. I don't think that's fair. But like
So Joe Paterno.
Joe Paterno, the athletic administration, his wife. Those people are equally as bad. Right? She knew, right?
I don't know.
She yelled, like she commented, like she was pretty sure he was molesting kids in the basement or some shit like that.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I'd forgotten about that.
Mm-hmm. Something. I know I'm probably making it seem a little bit darker than it was, but.
I mean, we're talking child molestation. Yeah, it's already pretty dark.
I'm just saying.
Unless
the joke you tell is original and very funny.
Okay. I can get behind that.
Yeah. Are you getting text, Pat?
I am, sorry.
Yeah, because it's making this act up.
Sorry.
You better be sorry.
So basically, we probably have 2 out of 3 games left that people might care about.
Yeah. Nobody gives a shit about it. And by the way, we were talking yesterday, you thought the Memorial Stadium was full? Dude, go look at those pictures again. That place was empty, boy.
At what point were you seeing
every picture I saw that wasn't like a close-up of someone's face where they were like looked like they're in a sea of red?
But I will say this, those upper deck seats, the way they're designed, they look a little more empty because there's a lot of cement. I've looked at that closely recently.
Yeah, you know the best way to see that cement is when there's nobody sitting in the seats.
But there aren't seats there in these spots I'm talking about.
Right. It was empty.
No, it sounded like it was actually a pretty electric environment yesterday.
It wasn't. Go look at the pictures. It doesn't matter what you say to me, because I've seen the pictures.
I've seen pictures!
Yeah, but the ones that you're talking about are the ones where it's like you see 4 rows deep and you really only see 40 people in the picture.
No, so it showed the whole goddamn stadium.
No, you're looking at an old picture. You're looking at
it was from yesterday.
No, you're looking at a picture from 1995.
A guy in his seat. There weren't the screens.
I know. That's how it's easy to spot. I can't believe you're falling for that.
No, I'm... God damn it.
What are people talking about on Twitter, man?
That's what this season and this podcast have become, guys.
Yeah. Well, I also think that, like, people say cool stuff on Twitter, and we never really talk about it on air, but...
We told Husker fans yesterday, and some people listened, some people didn't. Don't attack players on social media, you dumbasses. Did you see Chris Jones's response?
Yeah, I did.
I mean, I know you're not a religious fella, so
I'm not.
But like, it wasn't that it was religion.
It came off to me as a very smug answer, but also like the guy's being a dick, so I get it.
Yeah, be smug.
Be smug.
There were some people who went ahead and insulted us. I think in good nature.
In good nature.
But yeah, don't insult us. Don't insult players, friends, yeah, family.
I didn't see this tweet. This is funny. So our when Mike Riley got hired, I made our new logo. And I just took a picture of Mr. Rogers and then cut out his head. And
I think I know what tweet you're about to say.
Yeah, and changed it to Mike Riley's head. I'm a pretty good at Photoshop, guys. It looks pretty legit. And so someone responded, "You make me want to dick punk to Mr. Rogers." That's funny. Kyle C at Kyle C, whatever. Joe Canale, who's usually on this, he made a good point. No greater sign of a program in decline than getting beat by Iowa. He's taking a shot at Ohio State. How does that make you feel? Ohio State losing to Iowa.
Not good. Like, if we're going to give up 56 points at home, I want that team to be dominant as fuck.
Yeah, right? And then to lose to Iowa of all teams?
Iowa's a weird team this year. They should have basically been beaten by Iowa State, but they came back and beat them. They basically beat Penn State. They crushed Ohio State,
mm-hmm.
but they lost to Michigan State. Michigan State's rebounding a little bit. They lost in overtime to Northwestern. Like, they're a bananas team, man. Yeah. I can't get a read on them. And I don't want to spend too much time reading Iowa because, come on, man, they're Iowa.
Yeah.
I want to go back to guilt-free hating Iowa. It's so easy when we had the moral and – or when we had the superiority over them. We don't. And that makes me sicker than anything.
We don't have superiority over anybody. We got beat by Northern Illinois. That opens the door – to say that any team that beats Northern Illinois could potentially beat us. Right?
We beat Purdue.
But
I'm trying to find bright spots.
Who else has beat Northern Illinois? Has Northern Illinois lost this year?
Oh, I'm sure. I haven't followed the Huskies too closely since they beat us, but I think we follow them on Twitter. But I'll look it up.
Okay. So we don't have any superiority. We have nothing.
No. None whatsoever. All right. Here's Northern Illinois' schedule this year. Let me go back here. So Northern Illinois lost to Boston College at the beginning of the year. They're not a great ACC team.
Yeah, so but they're at least they're an ACC team.
But a bad one. We shouldn't have lost. We should never lose to Boston College.
Right.
Northern Illinois beat Eastern Illinois, who's an FCS team. Then they beat us. Then they lost to San Diego State.
They lost to San Diego State, so we're not San Diego State superior. Keep going.
San Diego State's decent.
Doesn't matter.
Then they beat Kent State. Then they beat Buffalo. Then they beat Bowling Green. Then they won an overtime against Eastern Michigan. Then they lost to Toledo.
So Toledo is also superior to us. Great.
We would lose to the Rockets.
Great.
That's where we are, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking to see if there's anything funny.
That's the thing. It wasn't even fun yesterday on Twitter. Second half,
fun. Everybody
went quiet. Like, first half was kind of fun on Twitter, but second half, everybody's just like, it's, you know how there are movies that are bad, but are fun to watch. They're so bad that they're fun to watch. And then there are movies that are just bad and boring. Like, this is like watching just a bad movie that's not even fun to watch. Like, not one that you can, like, make fun of and have a good time with. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
This is like Secretariat, that movie. That's my, This Nebraska football season is like the movie Secretariat with Diane Lane. Like, not good, but still not fun.
Can you ever stop talking about the Secretariat?
What?
I'm just kidding.
I was trying to think of a good example, and I was struggling. You're still looking for tweets, aren't you?
Yeah.
All right.
That's one of my worst... That's one of the things that pisses me off about Big Ten Network. The Big Ten to Go.
Oh.
The silence between... like for commercial breaks. Now, it sucks that the only real other alternative is commercials, but I'd almost prefer them.
Yeah, they're almost like a security blanket or a nightlight. That you're used to that sound. Some of it's just... So a lot of apps, like sometimes with ESPN too, you could be watching something on ESPN 3 or ESPN... Watch ESPN, that's what it's called now. And sometimes they won't have commercials either, or they'll have separate commercials. Yeah, it's jarring to watch a Big Ten game and just go straight to silence.
Especially when you're losing. It's almost like a movie where something bad happens and then they just let it hang there in silence for a moment so you can really let it sink in. That's what it's like. It's like, oh, Northwestern's up 7-0. Here's 4 minutes of silence to think about it. Fucking God. Nothing on Twitter.
So what do we... How do we... Are we just miserable on every Saturday and Sunday now? Is that just what we're... Is that our new thing?
No, that's the problem. That's the problem. I don't emotionally give a shit.
But I mean, like, our Saturdays and Sundays in the fall, well, all year leading up to fall is excitement, 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 and then...
And then lose, pick six.
Saturdays and Sundays historically have been some good days, some bad days. Now it's just... I mean, do people start taking up other hobbies? Because this isn't... we've said this a bunch of times. This isn't fun. Like, do we... Is this where we start to see people lose Nebraska football or Nebraska football loses people because they're just...
Yeah, nothing a couple wins can't fix, but yes.
I mean, it's, I think, going to take more than a couple wins. It's going to take the splash. It's going to take the splash higher to keep people interested. Yeah.
If Riley comes back next year...
See a sellout streak.
Sellout streak. Bye.
And that's why
Adios.
I think if Bill Moose is smart, he'll realize he can't have that on his legacy. He can't. And again, we're doubling back over territory that we've been over before, but part of the reason you keep Riley is to keep the recruiting class intact. It's going to be out of tact.
Very soon.
If you keep him on.
Very, very soon.
I think Bookie was the first domino to fall.
I wonder if Josh Moore is sticking around to see who the next coach is. He's probably got someone in his back pocket.
Yeah. Well, the other part of it is he had it down to us and Florida State, basically, and Florida State...
is also in limbo.
Yeah, which is dumb. Like, if they fire Jimbo Fisher because of this one bad year, that's dumb.
Because didn't he play for the national championship 2 years ago?
He won the national championship.
Yeah. Why would you fire a coach that won a net?
Because people in Florida are idiots.
I'm not positive that Nebraska...
is better?
They fired Solich at 2 years after going to a national championship.
Yeah, a national championship game we probably shouldn't have been in.
Doesn't matter. We were there.
And then we went 7-7, breaking our 9-win streak.
Yeah. But that was it.
Yeah. I think eventually the wheels would have come off with Solich. The timing was just terrible.
Yeah.
You have to give the guy enough rope to hang himself.
Yeah. I do think that Moose. I do think that he was a splash hire.
Yeah.
In the AD market.
He was one that he was a surprise. Like, there are good surprises and bad surprises where you're like, I didn't see that one coming, but you know what? I see it. And I think people tried to do that with Mike Riley.
They tried.
Yeah.
I remember trying to convince myself to be
excited. Oh, I did it too. And then people will say, well, you were just an idiot. I want to be optimistic about Nebraska football. We are fans. Like, our role is to support the team and hope for the best. We try and do too much, and then all we can do is have a negative effect. We're not the athletic administration. We're not the coaches. We're not the players. Like, when I'm like, well, I'd like love us to win, but, I mean, the sun will come up tomorrow. People would be like, this is why we don't win. No, if the players have that attitude, yeah, that's why we don't win. But if fans have that attitude...
It's a reaction to the players. I mean, I agree we should do our best to always cheer and be loud and... But in the same sense, like, you got to give us something to cheer about, bro.
Yeah, like, it's...
You can't be proud of yourself. You can't barely beat a Northwestern team or lose like they did to a Northwestern team and walk off the field like, yeah, Huskers bait. You can't.
No.
If you do that, you're delusional and you're just... That's what you're going to be for the rest of your life. You're going to be a guy that's happy with mediocre.
Are you talking
success.
Player or fan?
Player.
Yeah, right. Players have to have that. That is, for lack of a better term, it is their job right now.
And also, like, you just don't give up.
No.
On anything, fans, you can't give up, man.
Fans, like, our role is to go drink grill meats and yell loudly. If we leave the stadium disappointed, but move on the next day, that's different. Because remaining miserable as a fan isn't going to do us any good.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
It's not our role. That's the role of the players to take that on. Yeah. And right now they're not, though. I mean, I don't want to see guys miserable. But I do want to see them care. And right now, Tanner Lee's quote after the game was, it is what it is. That's apathy.
What is it? That is. What he should have said was, I want to win and I'm going to try harder to win every week. And then I want him to drop down and do 50 push-ups right there and just start working out. Be like, hey, man, I'm sorry. I don't have time for this goddamn interview. I need to get in better shape or something. I want him to start throwing balls. I don't want to, no more press conferences. Every time you think about social media or press conferences, I want you to throw a ball for 30 minutes.
I almost wonder if it would be better to remove the players from talking to the press right now.
Also from social media. I think that players during the season should be taken off social media.
Yeah, and I wonder how much you can control that and how much that ends up potentially hurting recruiting. But how much it hurts recruiting potentially?
Not the players.
Hmm?
Not the players. Let the coaches can recruit.
But no, what I'm saying is, like, if a player's like, coach isn't going to let me on social media?
Mm. Oh, fuck that kid. We don't need that kid.
Okay, so speaking of press conferences, did you see any of Bob Diaco's yesterday?
I read it a little bit. We can't expect the players to be good enough. Okay. That was the gist. Right?
More or less, yeah.
I read about three sentences, and I was like, well, this is useless.
You know how much people at UConn hate him?
I don't hate Diaco.
No, I don't
either.
I just
think it was the dumbest-ass thing you could say. I think he's doing a good job.
Well, but part of why they don't like him is that they thought he was full of shit. A blowhard. He got really defensive after losses. Kind of starting to see some of that. He gets very defensive after losses.
Yeah, and, I mean, I get
and
it.
And I get it.
I don't know. I don't mind Diaco yet. We'll see. It sucks.
He won't be our defensive coordinator next year if Riley's gone. He won't.
Yeah, well, yeah. Scott Frost is going to bring in his guys.
And he loves his guys. He gave up part of his salary to increase the assistant coaching pool at Central Florida.
Right.
Which is smart.
Which is a move that a guy like Tom Osborne would make.
Yeah.
And that's... It's not fair to compare him to Tom Osborne, and I'm not trying to do that,
I guess,
even though I directly did that. But my point is like, you know what, man? You know who does that? A guy who wants to fucking win football games. That's who does that. He understands, I need these guys to buy in. So I'm a millionaire. I'm a fucking millionaire. I'm going to make them millionaires too.
Yeah.
And then we're going to win ball games. All right, man, I'm done. We're at an hour.
Okay.
I don't want to do this anymore. I'm so annoyed.
I have a lot of things to do today as well. And I'm pretty talked out. I wonder, so everybody get at us on Twitter, and so at Big Red Cobcast, or if you prefer Facebook, facebook.com/Cobcast. Let us know
what, like, you think about everything.
The ins and outs of your mood. Like, you going to watch all the rest of the games? Do you care about the rest of the games? Do you, like, open up your soul and let it pour out? Because I want to know, I see things on social media, but I want to know, like, real detailed, how are you feeling?
Yeah.
Go
on, if you go on Twitter and tweet at us, we might read your tweet in the podcast, because we're going to start responding to more tweets on the podcast. Because at this point, the honest truth is, there's just nothing to fucking talk about. Nothing. He's given me nothing.
Yeah. That's the...
Apathy is the worst thing that can happen.
It's terrible.
To a football program.
Like, now all that's left is the party aspect.
Yeah, and I don't do that, so it's shit for me. It's me watching us lose and then trying to go play Madden, but all I've done is watch shit football play calling for 4 hours, so I got to come on Madden and try to get all that play calling out of my head so I can win championships.
I'm still up for partying if anybody wants to do that.
Also, I'm not doing the hip hip hooray chant anymore.
No, I get it. It felt weird the last few... probably month or so.
Yeah, because I don't believe him. I don't believe in him anymore.
It's sad, because I like the guy.
Yeah, I like him too.
I like a lot of our assistants, and I like...
You know what I've learned from this?
What?
Good guys suck at everything.
No, they don't.
You only have to... we need bad guys. Surround, I think there's a... bad guys, they're good at stuff.
You don't think
except for chimos. Don't surround yourself with chimos. Stay a minimum of 3 degrees away from chimos.
What are you talking about? What's that?
Oh, a child molester.
Oh, I've never heard
the phrase chimo?
Yeah. Maybe I've heard it and didn't really.
All right, so what's our new chant?
I mean, do we just go back to the original?
Until we get a new coach that gives us something else to yell?
Ooh, I can't wait to figure out. I mean, most coaches don't have a rallying cry, though.
Well, guess what? We'll make our own, but it'll be for the next coach. We'll figure it out.
It'll be, who's our guy? Scott Frost from Wood River, Nebraska is our guy. Yeah, no, I don't. It needs workshopped.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Go Big Red.
Go Big Red.
This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.